In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is one of the most sober and powerful readings of the church year. We have to realize everything that comes out of our Lord's mouth, He's not just some guy with good advice, another philosopher. He's the living God, fully God and fully man. He decides our life, our breath, everything that happens to everything, and how we'll spend eternity. So it behooves us to really know what He's saying and to live according to what He's saying. As Christians, we live the life of Christ. Very humble. We were talking to the catechumens yesterday. Beautiful catechumen class, the largest we've ever had. As of today, 23 catechumens already. This time and more coming, because people are seeking God more than ever. As the darkness of this world gets darker, the light of Christ in His ancient church shines brighter and brighter. It's a rock you can hold on to that will not change in this storm of life. It's a harbor from the craziness of the world as it gets crazier and crazier. And you will see more people seeking that harbor. But when we come into that harbor, as new Orthodox Christians are learning, it's hard. It's hard to put on the mind of Christ because we've had our selfish, egotistical mind running the show for most of our life. I would argue that many of you who are already Orthodox Christians, who perhaps didn't take it too seriously, maybe baptized as children, maybe fell away or whatever, we're all of us, to a certain level, always trying to renew our baptismal garment. All of us. Those who aren't baptized yet are preparing for baptism on Holy Saturday. Those of us who are, you see, the priest wears this white garment. Stikharion, Podriznik, different languages. The Stikharion, it symbolizes the baptismal garment. It's white, traditionally. Why? Because after baptism, we're white as snow. We're washed, as Psalm 50 says. But we sully our garment. We make it dirty again, don't we? We make mistakes. We fall. We're all sinners. How do we renew that all the time? Confession. Confession to our spiritual Father. Being accountable before God, and He washes us. Right? And we can be constantly renewing that garment. And the idea of the priest wearing it, the bishop, is that we're all to keep that garment as white as snow. Our metropolitan, Joseph, always says the story that he was given Barasso, the black robe, when he was very young, went to the monastery very young. And the patriarch said to him, when he ordained him, he said, "I'm giving you this robe black." It's the color of repentance. He says, "I want you to make it white with your life." Right? So that's what we're trying to do constantly. But that first step is putting off the world and living in a Christian manner. And Orthodoxy makes a bold claim that a lot of places that call themselves Christians aren't living according to the Christian way. You compare the life of a lot of Christian churches, so to speak, and the gospel, and there's no correlation. Read the gospel and simple faith. Do this in remembrance of me, right? If you eat this bread, I am the bread of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. Okay. Take bread and wine, offer it up in this way. Receive my body and blood. Receive this mystery. Okay, we'll do that. Bless water, O ye bishops and priests, and renew people in it. Renew them for eternal life. Okay, like humble children, we will. Right? Receive. Right? Christ said, "Go forth, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We spoke of the Trinity in the class yesterday with the catechumens. No one thought of the Trinity. No one sat in the room who was really, not a really smart person thought, "Let me really get to the bottom of God." No matter how smart you are, you can't penetrate the mysteries of God with this bird brain. No matter how nice it is and how smart it is. We only know about God insofar as He's revealed it to us. We have a revealed faith, the real faith. The Psalms say, God, the Lord is God and has revealed Himself to us. God has chosen to reveal Himself in the Old Testament, the voice of the Father, and then in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, revealed a part of that mystery, which is that He is one in three. He is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. A great mystery. Doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to be an exhaustive biography of God. He gives us just enough of his innermost being, in some sense, to invite us into a relationship with Him, to heal us. The early Christians were very humble, unless you become like a child. So if you want to grow in the spiritual life, if you want to have the fruits of these saints, if you want to say, "I want to be like Saints Peter and Paul, I want to be humble, I really want to love people, I don't want to be lazy, I don't want to be lustful, I don't want to live this way, I don't want to be afraid of dying, I want that eternal life that the Orthodox Church promises, I want it." How do we get it? The beginning is baptism. Right? It, so to speak, it makes possible every possibility. And the question is, how do we live? What do we do? Do we live the life of the church? Do we humbly, like sponges, receive the teachings of the church? Or does our fallen mind and ego keep us like a barrier from receiving it? And so today's gospel is a very, like a punch in the face about how to live the Christian life. And of course the problem is, we're not in love with Christ. We're in love with ourselves and our life in this world. Hopefully you are listening to the gospel, and I'd really encourage you, during the epistle and gospel, those teaching readings, be as quiet as you can. Really tell your kids, hey son, hey, but listen, the reader is reading something from St. Paul now, let's listen. Right? I would encourage you even more. You can go on the website for the church or online, and you can find the readings ahead of time. Many families do that. Read the epistle and gospel before you come as a family. How about in the morning on the ride to church? So you're ready for it, and you're thinking about it, right? And you listen. So let me review in case it was too loud, you couldn't hear it. One of the shortest readings. The Lord spoke this parable, the land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. He had land, and he was making tons of money. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. He was making tons of money. He was rolling in it. And the problem was, he didn't want to lose money because his silos, you know, those grain silos, those big buildings that hold grain, they were too small. He couldn't hold all of his cash, so to speak, all of his stuff, all of his goodies. And he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my old barns. I'll build new, larger ones. And there I can store up all my stuff. I can be really rich. And I will say to my soul, he's talking to his soul, soul, you have ample goods, tons of stuff. For many years, relax. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Is the Lord okay with that? But God says, and this is Jesus' words, God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? What good are they going to do you? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This should pierce every single one of us. I borrow heavily today from, by the way, nothing I say is original. I don't want you to say, wow, Father Justin has an amazing original thought he had. Nothing of my own words. None of it. You're not getting Father Justin's great insights on things. You're getting the church fathers, other holy priests, the scriptures, the holy church, because it's built on that rock. So today, I borrow heavily from a priest named Father Kevin, who has some beautiful writings, and a couple other priests, so don't think it's original, right? So today, the rich fool. That's what it's called, the parable of the rich fool. Like so many other things in the gospel, let me tell you this first. How many of us read the gospel? The gospel is your handbook for life. Evangelia, right? The gospel is your handbook for life. Every single one of you needs to own a Bible, or at least the gospels. And the fathers said, the saints, the doctors of our souls say, you cannot let a day go by that you don't read some of the gospel. From Saints Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, I don't understand it, Father. It's boring. It's that. It's medicine. Again, simple, humble, childlike faith. I tell my children, do this, brush your teeth, take this vitamin. I don't want, why? Because it's good for you. And they trust us, they do it. Right? So when you do it, it washes your soul. You feel close to Christ. So the gospel should be our handbook for life. And like many things in the gospel, a lot of them seem to slip under our radar. Like we like the part about God is love, and forgive your enemies, and we have to be joyful, and I will give you joy, and it shall be full. We like those parts because we can be in our worldly life and continue in them and kind of lay that on top of it without much change required. But some of these harder ones seem to kind of slip under our radar until the church on this Sunday every year says, you need to listen to this. And it smacks you right in the face. No one among you today should be comfortable hearing this gospel. We don't go to church to feel comfortable. I had some people leave the church when I first became the priest because they said, I don't like your homilies, Father Justin. Why? They said, because they make me feel like a sinner. That's like going to a doctor and saying, I don't like coming to this hospital because you're pointing out my sicknesses. How dare you? Well, it's a hospital, right? And actually, don't worry, because the more you feel your sickness, the more you want healing. And guess what? You have the best healer in the world, Jesus Christ. You have the best physicians, the saints, and the best medicine, the sacraments, so you got nothing to worry about. Welcome. You see? But if a person's too proud and says, I don't want to be like a sinner, I want to go to church to feel happy. Well, there's plenty of churches you can go to for that. What kind of hospital would that be? It says, no, you don't have cancer. You're amazing. You're not sick at all. You're fine. Would that be love? Would that be a good doctor? No, that doctor would be malpracticed in jail as a bum, as a quack. A good doctor tells you the truth. But he also says, I know you're in pain, but I have some medicine. But guess what? Even the best doctor can't heal every malady. Christ can. Every malady of the soul can be healed in the church. So we're going to listen to a doctor who can't heal everything by any means. We should definitely listen to Christ in His church, who can heal every malady and sickness and illness and heartache of our souls. So today, we should say, I am this rich fool in some way. We shouldn't be comfortable. It's not just about, this gospel isn't about just having too much money or too much stuff. We do struggle with that. It's really about something deeper, our adultery from God. Our idolatry, our great love of ourself and of our life. And when we're like that, we have no love for other people, truly, and a love for our bridegroom, our true bride, Christ. And you might protest and make excuses and say, no, I'm devoted to Christ. I'm serious about being a Christian. Let's, all of us, starting with the priests and with all of us, let's really consider ourselves honestly the reality of how each one of us, I would ask every single one of you to think, when you close your eyes, how do you stand before God every day? We don't realize it, but God is everywhere present. We are naked and open before Him at all moments to our Creator. Every desire you have, every thought, good, bad, evil, disgusting, perverted, everything is open and exposed before God. You know, an unconscious notion, secret acts, secret words. You can hide it from men, but you cannot hide it from God. There is nothing in us that can be hidden from the source of being. Wow. And so, you can't make excuses. You can't hide behind a facade. And we hear this parable today, and we examine our hearts, and hopefully it opens us up to say, I'm sick, and to cry out to God for mercy. The rich fool today, it exemplifies what we've all grown up with in this culture. It's all modern culture, but especially American culture. We plan our jobs. Europeans the same way too. I often find that our Orthodox immigrants from other countries, they worship not God, they worship education. Oh, my kid can't be in church today. They have an exam on Monday. Oh, I'm sorry. The exam might get them into Harvard. The prayers might give them eternity. And by the way, you do better on the test if they're in church on Sunday. Don't tell me kids are starting at 9 in the morning on Sunday morning. Stop it. Right? They're sleeping in and then getting up later. And you're showing your kid that you care more about worldly stuff than you care about their soul. It's not love. So we obsessively plan our jobs. If we're students, we plan our courses of study. Maybe you obsess about it. We plan our families, our 401ks, retirements, home purchases, vacations, so on. I'm not saying these things in themselves are bad by any means. And many of us, here's the problem. We implement these plans and we become so dedicated to this that the other things, important things, the most important thing, falls to the wayside. And the thing that then tends to fall by the most to the wayside, most often, is Christ. Is spiritual life, is the pearl of great price. We know about that treasure hidden in the field. St. Matthew's Gospel talks about a man who happened to find a great treasure in a field. We know about it. And he went and sold everything he had so he could buy that field because it was so worth it, that one thing. And if we're honest, we don't sell all we have to that great pearl of Christ, eternity. We more often just pass that field by. And if we do happen on a bit of this glorious treasure, we don't think it's worth changing our current plan because our life is important. Our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan, what I'm doing is important. In other words, not only do we not go and sell all we have and purchase this field of great treasure, we go and buy other fields that require less sacrifice, less work, and we attempt to construct kind of a duplicate treasure. And we become idolaters, the fathers say, and worshipers and lovers of false treasure. It doesn't really make you happy. We consider Christ, the church, the pearl of great price, little more than a trinket often in our actions. Among other trinkets that we polish and venerate far more. We're often, the fathers say, like greedy kids. You might say, oh, I'm not like that. We're all like that. You might say, I'm not greedy with my money. You might not have multiple cars and many closets and hundreds of pairs of shoes, though you might. That's scandalous. We must confess that we're all greedy sometimes. And we're greedy with what things? You might say, I don't have any money to be greedy with. We're greedy with our time. When I was in college, my priest, I said, I can't tithe. I don't have squat. I'm a negative. He'd say, okay. Father, he says, okay. My name before I was Orthodox was Lawrence. That was my name. He'd say, okay, Lawrence. He'd say, 2.4 hours, that's the tithe of your day. Get to church and clean. Right? On Saturdays, I would go. Right? And clean. Because I couldn't give money, but I gave. I didn't want to because I was lazy. We're greedy with our time. We're greedy with our experiences. And we're greedy with the room in our hearts. We idolize our time and our experiences. We want to protect our hearts even from Christ. Why? So He won't change us when we're not looking. We're afraid of that. It might be that we're... And this is a lot of people, by the way. You might even know this is you. That you're utterly terrified of becoming holy. You're terrified of what it might be to change. Because we look at the world of goodies and the world of stuff and the things that give us happiness. And we know one thing, and you know this is true. You know that if you choose to become a humble, holy person, and you become serious about your Orthodox faith, you know that someday you're not going to care about all these worldly things. And it'll be beautiful, but you're deadly afraid of giving them up because you think you're giving up happiness. But someday, if we give control of our hearts to Christ and His life in the church, you in fact can become selfless and not attached to this stuff. But you know what? This will go against your great plan for your life. It will go against all the hard work you've done for this worldly life. And this will change us into someone other than we are now. We're afraid of that. And we rather like who we are now, even though it's miserable and killing us. So sadly, because of our self-love, we don't want to become the person that God wants us to truly be. We say we do, I want to, but in our heart of hearts, do we really want Christ? Talked to a priest who said over the past few months, he had the opportunity to visit with a man. I'm so blessed by the opportunity to visit many people who are sick and suffering in hospitals. It's a big blessing. And there's a man who is slowly wasting away from a degenerative brain disease. There's no cure for it. Nothing can be done. He's slowly losing his ability to form thoughts or communicate. He'll sometimes just stop mid-sentence when he's talking and just stare blankly ahead. Like that. Because his eyes no longer work properly, his brain is getting smaller. He's starting to choke on his food when he eats, and he frequently falls with his walker. It's sad. It's a sad reality for priests sometimes. But you can be sure this man had plans. He was somebody. He pursued his interest often to the detriment of his family. But more importantly, he pursued his business and his life and his vacations to the detriment of his soul. He wanted to be important to this world. He wanted to experience everything that he thought he had a bad role of it as a child. And he thought, God owes it to me. I need to make lots of money so I can have good experiences when I get older. He lost out. He wanted his time to be used solely for his own pursuits and not for communion with God and other people. He wanted it all for himself. And guess what? He was pretty successful in his early life. He accomplished much of what he set out to do. And then he got sick. When you're dying and your brain and body are shutting down, which will guaranteed happen to all of us, what good is all this junk we've amassed and obsess over? What good are all those vacations you took or your distractions when you have to work to develop a coherent thought, a single coherent thought at the end of your life? Perhaps all of us sitting here today, we might think that if we do all these things, if we travel to that one amazing place, if we can just read that one book, take that one adventure, meet that one person, at least we had a full life. At least life then was worth living in some way. Isn't it interesting that many people, they want to go to Hawaii, they want to do this, they want to find the love of their life, but often on their bucket list isn't becoming holy and saying, I want to be rid of all this stuff. And that's my life goal. That's a true bucket list item to finish. This constant rejection of Christ, and we do it all the time, myself included, is in favor of more fulfilling pursuits. Right? It presumes a lot of things. It presumes that death is the end of all things. It's an atheistic way of living. And yet we're all have this kind of born into us. And so if this is the end, we're going to die. Life must be lived as full here and now as possible. But the proclamation of Christ is very bold. Death is not the end. Life is eternal. It never stops, ever, once you come into this world in the miracle of birth. Our breathing may stop. When our breath stops and our eyes close in this world, we open our eyes into a brand new world. The kingdom of heaven, hopefully. Certainly to eternity. And our Lord says, what we do in this life determines that. There at the end, when everything fails you, the only thing that will matter to you on your deathbed, the only thing that mattered to my mother on her deathbed, was her participation in the grace and mercy of God. She lamented over the fact that she had wasted time in her life. But she didn't waste the last years of her life. By the end, she had nothing holding her to this world. Her joys were confession, reading prayers, listening to the scriptures, asking forgiveness. She wrote letters to everyone she knew, to a boss she had 20 years ago that she felt hard heart to. And she sent the letter, and she got a letter back before she died with so much joy. She said, I have asked the forgiveness of every person. And she said, I wish I had done this sooner. That's the saints do. We start living this life now. We don't wait for some end. My mom was fortunate to have time to prepare. Years. Months. And she didn't waste the time. And I can tell you, she was ready to open her eyes into a different kingdom. But this man in the gospel is scary. And all of us should be a little bit, not frightened in the sense of, oh gosh, no, God loves us. And he loves us so much, he's saying, wake up. Let's be honest. Most of us are obsessed with our life. We spend so much more time thinking about school and work and our clothes and our house and our this and our that. People say, oh, I can't find 5 minutes to pray. No, you have chosen not to do it. You have chosen with your will that I love eating more than I love God. You have chosen, said, I love pornography more than I love God. I love sleeping more than I love God. And God says, I give you eternity. And you can't spend a little time with me? It's sad. And I want your heart to be wounded with his love and say, he gives us life, breath. We walk, we talk, we live, we have each other because of him. And we can't take 5 minutes in the morning at night. We should be taking hours, brothers and sisters. We should love to get up in the morning and do our morning prayers and to thank God for everything, good and bad, for the miracle of being alive. We should end every night with prayer with our family, before our icons. We should pray before our meals. We should be so excited about this fast that we're in now. We're in the Nativity fast. This is a time to not be worldly. We're all obsessed with worldly things. Even me, I get caught up sometimes. Thank God for these holy times. Let's wake up to our true purpose. Doesn't matter what kind of degree you have. Doesn't matter how nice your house is. You will die and go out of this world. You came into this world naked and crying, weeping. And the fathers say, we go out the same way, naked and weeping. You can go out weeping tears of joy because you're not attached to it and you're going to be with Christ, or tears of misery because all your precious stuff can't go with you. And it's terrifying. This is terrifying. But you know what's beautiful? Is if you do it now. If you start becoming a person of humility. If you stop being obsessed with your stuff. Start giving away some of your stuff. Go into your closet. Do I need this? Give it to a homeless person. Help them out. Right? I mean, don't be so ridiculous. Right? And then more importantly, where's your priority? If your priority is Christ, you'll be in the church services. Because it shows that you love him. You'll be in confession. You'll keep the fast of the church. You'll give. You'll tithe. You'll want to say, I want to do everything. A good businessman has nice bank accounts for his money to keep it safe. Let's be good spiritual businessmen and women. Right? The bank is in paradise. And every time you humble yourself, every time you humble yourself in confession, every time you do your prayers before God, every time you have love and you come to church when you're tired and you turn the other cheek and you live this Christian life, ding, ding, you're laying up treasure in heaven. And you know what? No crash can take place there. Nothing can steal your treasure. Nothing. Think of how smart that is. Let's be wise, brothers and sisters. Let's start today saying, I'm going to put as much bank in that as I can, knowing that it's never going to be taken away from me. I'm going to love as many people as I can today. I'm going to eat humble pie as much as I can. I'm going to read the gospel every day. I'm going to do these prayers, not because we're earning it, but because we want to live in paradise with Christ. Brothers and sisters, I hope every Sunday is a wake-up call. And you look at your week and go, why am I so unloving? Why am I so selfish? Why? I don't want to live this way anymore. When you have a heart like that, Christ rushes to a heart like that. And you can leave here on a Sunday morning a totally different person. You really can. Dedicated to a totally different life. And you know what? That's the life of paradise in this life. That's the life of Pascha. That's the life where St. Paul says, "Death, where is thy sting?" Brothers and sisters, let's wake up. Let's not waste so much time on worldly things. And let's put as much as we can in the bank of Christ, living this life in the church together, so all of us can open our eyes into paradise with Christ forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.